Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's your brother Elohim, live out of Philadelphia. Okay. Well, it's the days that we like. Today is Thursday. We talk about that money. Boy, oh boy, what's up for today? What are you spending your money for? Why are you spending your money? You know what I'm saying? It's just to pay bills and survive. Is that it? Well, before we get started, let's talk a little bit about love. Love is an act that makes others feel good, you know? I've been offered to join groups and stuff, but I have to know that they're not hateful or racial groups, you know, because we're all about love, the act that makes others feel good. Now, we had some thoughts about that the other day, last time on the show. What if making the other person feel good means you being a slave? Well, that's something different. You got groups out there that would make them feel just great. If you was their slave and sleeping on the street, they would love that. That would make them feel so good. Groups out there that would feel so good if you didn't have the right to vote. So you couldn't vote and express the power that's given to you by your birthright, okay? What do you mean by your birthright? We'll talk about that maybe on politics. In fact, we did talk about that on politics. But right now we're talking about love. So if somebody, to make somebody feel good, is to your detriment, then you can't love them, you know? You can only love people that's going to return the favor. If you're loving somebody and under no circumstance are they trying to love you back. See, we're talking about reap what you sow culture. You know what I'm saying? If you're sowing something that you can't reap, you know, then you're out of the scientific methodology of our culture. And listen to what I'm saying. You're out of the scientific methodology of our culture. Think about that. The entire culture, the entire universe, everything is based on the scientific methodology of reap what you sow. That's what's going on. And they don't mention a reap what you sow portion. They just say science. But the reap what you sow mindset, that thought process balances the science. And that keeps the doggy dog culture in check. When the reap what you sow culture is in charge. If this society is going to survive, the reap what you sow culture must stay in charge. That's important. Because if the dog-eat-dog culture get in there, remember, Hitler was strictly under the dog-eat-dog culture. One of reap what you sow in part of that. Most of the dictators, they're following the dog-eat-dog culture. And the reap what you sow portion gets pushed way in the background. And we've been moving towards the dog-eat-dog culture in this country. That's why you have so many people sleeping on the street, hungry and out of doors. You know, when these people be coming here through our borders, okay, they're coming here for a reason because we're in their country to stabilize and stuff, all right? You just got to check out what we're doing or what big corporations are doing in their countries and how they're destabilizing their country, if I understand. So you really have to check what's going on. And what's the destabilizing factor? It's all about the economics. It's about the money, okay? Now, this is Thursday, so we're talking about economics. The biggest problem that we have to deal with, the question that you ask yourself is, hey, man, why am I spending money? What am I spending money for? What's the purpose of my spending money? They're doing an overwhelming push for the credit. Watch your credit scores. Watch what's going on. They're loan sharks, okay? This is how they make so much money off the interest that they're charging. So many people charge 18% interest on a credit card. You dig where I'm coming from? You shop all, do all this hit shopping and get the price down, and then you pay on a credit card, and you're paying 18%. I'm saying on a credit card. Okay, let's go back to the Bible. This is why the Bible is so important as a code book. I shouldn't say not as a religious book, because it is a religious book when you deal with the meaning of religion. realigning yourself with source energy. Okay, what are you made up out of? You are made up out of source energy. Okay, you were not created. You have to get that thought process out of your mind. All right, you were not created because you cannot. Anyone that deals with science will tell you the same thing. You cannot make something from nothing. Okay. So you can't create. You're making out of what you have or what you're getting from someplace else. That's what's going on, okay? Now, we have a problem with money. Most of us have a problem with dealing with money because we really don't know why we're spending the money, okay? What the money is actually for, okay? Money is for you to develop enough resources to have residual income. I'm going to say that again. Money is designed for you to have enough resources to have residual income. Okay? That's what money is actually designed for. What in the world is economics? Economics is somebody else working and paying you. We say this every Thursday, so you can give you a little wake-up call what economics actually is. They got microeconomics, macroeconomics. It all comes down to one thing. Who's working and paying you? You know, when they talk about the jobs, oh, man, we've had 200,000 jobs this quarter, 250,000 jobs this quarter. Well, why do they talk about job making? I'm talking about the government. When they talk about economics, I'm saying the government, but that's really you. You know what I mean? We get in the habit of speaking of government like it's separate from us. No, you are the doggone government. And if you don't do nothing and push this government in the right direction, it could get really, really nasty out here. They talk about jobs because people are working and paying taxes. You know what I'm saying? That's why jobs are economics for the government, because you're working and paying taxes. When the big boys, okay, they got all these loopholes for the big boys. Why they got these loopholes for the big boys? Well, you got 200 people working for you, and they're paying them a salary. You fill out your W-2 form, and they're collecting the taxes either annually or quarterly. For who? For the government. These big companies are tax collectors. The more employees they have, the more taxes they collect, the more they turn over to the government, the more the government loves them. So the government gives them a break. It gives them a pass, okay? If you understand why the government is so lenient with these guys, who do you think is collecting all the doggone taxes for the government? You know what I'm saying? So you have to think about that. They weren't coming from because the jobs are residual income for government, because you're working and paying taxes, okay? Now, if you don't have residual income, right, then you're not following the Bible. I don't know whether I should say it like that or not, because land acquisition is the key to everything. Land acquisition is the key to everything. From the land, you get the minerals, the resources, your food. Everything is coming from the land. So when you go to work, what primarily should be on your mind is land acquisition, okay? You got people, I've known people that have lived in an apartment and died in an apartment, okay? Raise their children, lived and died in an apartment, right? When you get an apartment, when you leave that apartment, how much of that money do you get back? Not a dime. Okay, none of that money back. Okay? That money is just gone. But if when you buy some type of land or some property, okay, and when you leave that property, if you own the property, you can sell the property, get some of your money back. Apartments, you don't get nothing back. I live in the area right now, and man, are they building apartment buildings? They're building apartment buildings like crazy. So they're looking for an economic development in this city so that their workers who are inside the bubble making $25,000-$30,000 a year will be able to get, will mostly live in apartments. They're not looking for housing. They look living in apartments. A lot of them are coming from other cities and stuff like that there because of the job relocation and all that. But they're looking for something quick, quick apartment. When you got cash money, okay, you can literally go and buy a house. You don't need to take back a mortgage. You don't need none of that stuff. You can literally just go and buy you a house. If you take $50,000, $60,000 that you've saved up and bought a house, okay, fix it up a little bit, live there, you know what I'm saying? That's better than an apartment. Way better than an apartment. Because you stay there for X amount of years, right, working on your job. If something happens to your job, right, you can always sell the property and get enough money to buy another property to rent something out. This is what I'm talking about. You have access to capital if you own property or land. Some people that buy apartments. You can buy an apartment, you know, with same thing as buying a house, but it's an apartment. Okay, renting is not a good idea unless you're renting from a group that's putting part of the money back into your group's pocket. If they're not doing that, then you're just giving your money away. Everything is about the thought process. Okay? We're talking about money. Why are you spending your money? When they say credit, you're going to a loan shark. All right. Don't matter who they are. They're loan sharks. They have different names for it. If you're with the system or with the big boys, you're not a loan shark. You're getting credit. But if you're not with the system, oh, then you're a loan shark. It's all loan shark. It's all the same thing. Now, what you have to be mindful of, you got some crazy people out here with plenty of money that's ready to loan you some money to make money off of you so that they can keep you down. You got to look and see who you're borrowing your money from. Check the banks out. Who's running the banks? What they doing? What bank are you borrowing money from? You follow what I'm saying? It's kind of interesting. You got to know what you're doing with this money. And I use TD Bank. It's owned by the Queen. Okay? The Queen can get kind of shaky sometimes because you know what was going on with India when she's in control of India, she's in control of America. All that stuff that we was going through in America, the Queen was in control. It don't look like she's in control because they're hiding certain things from you so that you don't know who actually owns this. You think you won your independence, but you didn't. You know what I mean? You lost your independence. You fought 33 years on a loss. Check out the Treaty of 1812 if you think I'm kidding. You know? Check who paid who. Reparations, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just bringing it to you. You know? You used to could Google this stuff, but now you can't Google. They're taking stuff off the net. They're controlling what you're seeing. I used to have a TV show that comes on once a week. It says, we control what you see. We control what you hear. That's what's going on. You follow what I'm saying? They've given you this illusion, okay, of this certain God that you're following. But now they give me the illusion that Jesus Christ is the God that's going to bring you so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. That's the impression that they have you under. Now, Jesus Christ is a God? Sure. According to the Bible, yes, Jesus Christ was a God. But so were you. You know what I'm saying? You can save yourself. That's the point. You can save yourself. Now, and the story of Joseph. What's so important about the story of Joseph? Man, oh, man, oh, man. He went through so much trouble. That's the occult. When they mention occult, they're talking about stories. See what I'm saying? They just say it's a cult. See what I'm saying? How does a cult function? What makes a cult get people involved? It's the occulting. You know what I'm saying? The occulting is the story. You have the story of Yahshua ben Bandera, whom you call Jesus. You have the story of Yahshua, right? With that story, depends on who you like that's telling the story, that's the one you're going to join. Okay? you're going to join whoever's the best storyteller based on what's going on. See what I'm saying? That's the occult. The occult is the story. The occult members get their story together on Yahshua or Elohim or Yahweh or whoever they're going to be telling the story, Allah, whatever they're saying out there, they story together on that. And based on the stories, they prop one person up. Oh, this guy is so special. He done this and he done that. Nobody else did it but this guy. You follow what I'm saying? And if you go back through history, everything that they say this guy is doing, somebody else had done already. You know what I'm coming from? But they're giving you the impression that, oh, Jesus walked on water. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. That has been done before. He's not the only one that did that. You know what I'm coming from? Now we're in the point where we're doing the same thing. Our scientific knowledge is beginning to come back to us. Well, we can do the same thing. He said, "Well, I can't walk on water." Sure, they got sneaks that made that you can pump air into. You can walk on water all day long. You are a designer. There's nothing that you can't do. Okay. Well, he laid hands on Jesus and he healed the blind. Well, you can heal blind people. I don't know about laying hands on them, but we can do all that stuff. There's nothing that anybody had ever done in history that we cannot do, right? Because of the who the Bible says that we are. We are gods. Gods are designers. If you want to do something, design a way to make it happen. You want to walk on water, make some shoes made out of air. You can walk on water. You can do whatever you want to. As a designer, there's nothing to stop you, okay? We're talking about that money. Why are we having so much trouble with the doggone money? Because we've taken our instruction book, right? Some people say basic instructions before leaving Earth. No, it's basic instructions while you're on Earth. Okay, this is what I'm saying. They're taking our basic instruction and we're throwing it in the trash. We don't even read it no more, you know? I talk to people that are very religious. Oh, I talk to a person that was a Catholic. Oh, well, I don't read the Bible too much no more. Because the way they're giving it to you, they're giving you the occult practicing portion. And it's, after a while, it begins to not make sense. Okay, we talk about the 50% budget all the time, but where do you think we're getting it from? Joseph told Pharaoh, this is how he saved Kemet. He saved Kemet, he told Pharaoh, spend half, save half for 7 years. Well, we suggest you do it for 2 years if you can work two jobs. If you can work two jobs, then maybe a 4-year plan might be good for you, just doing off one job, you know, but that's kind of tricky because every time you get an increase in pay, they raise the cost of goods and services. You never really get an increase. You're still paying the same percentage of what you've been paying ever since 1920s, 1910. The same percentage that you're paying out for your goods and services is what you're paying now. Follow what I'm saying? So every time they give you money, every time they have to pay more, they raise the prices to match what they have to give you, so you're getting the same thing. That's why you don't never seem to be able to get ahead. I can't get ahead of this thing, man. No, you can't. Not with the thought process that they have you under. You have to ask yourself, why am I spending this money, and who am I spending it with? Okay? You go out here, you buy food and goods and all that. Oh, we've been here for over 100 years. Well, if they've been here for 100 years, we're talking about doing the slave trade. Yeah, we're talking about doing it. we're talking about doing the redlining when they was making money off your backs. Who are these people that have been in, that have these companies that have been around for over 100 years? Why are you buying their products? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? You don't think in terms of, wait a minute, these people have been here all this their time. They involved in the slave trade. Now, they involved in slavery and redlining the black neighborhoods and all that, you know what I mean, to get what they have. Okay? They've been taking yours and building theirs up. That's what's been going on. That's how the dog-eat-dog crew work. They take what they want. They don't be asking for nothing. They're going to take what they want. as the Indians. They didn't come here with no picket sign, marching in the street for the Indians. They came here with guns and chemical and biological weapons. And that's how they took over with the Indians. They made peace with the Indians, you know, peace. You know, that's the act of war. But the Indians didn't know that. Well, they think everything going to be kumbaya. So they start inviting as many white folks into the country as possible, build up their military, if I don't understand. And as soon as they got a way stronger military than the indigenous people here, they came in and took their stuff. That's how peace works, okay? So if you think, you have to think in terms of you're constantly working towards a better planet. And your money is how you're beginning to achieve that. How are you spending your money? Why are you spending your money and who are you spending it with? Now, I would love to borrow money from some of the basketball players, the football players and all that. But people ask me, well, wait a minute, man. Don't you have a credit score? I say, I don't do credit. Why am I going to pay these people, okay, to have their foot on my neck, interest on money that I have in my pocket? I got money. I don't need their money. I don't need their money. They put that out. Oh, you're supposed to use other people's money. Well, whose other people's money are you going to use? They put that thought process in your head because they're in position to loan you the money and collect interest on the money. They're loan sharking you, but you're not thinking like that. I got to get my credit score. My credit score's, you know, if I need a car right now, I just go down there and pay for it. I don't need no credit. If a certain property that you can buy, you don't have to go through the bank. You can go to the owner. The owner can take back a mortgage for you. You just have to give them X amount of dollars down. You go to the lawyers, get it set up. You know, make sure you do a check on the property, title search, and all that. And the owner will take back a mortgage, and you pay directly to the owner. You don't even have to go to the bank. The thought process of what you have and what you're doing, how and why you're spending your money, okay, this is what you have to think. We have to change the way we think about everything, okay? Starting back with the Bible again. I don't know if this guy keep talking about the Bible. Man, I don't want to deal with the Bible no more. You don't know how to read it. You know, King James, okay, I know we're talking about money. King James was the sixth king of Ireland and the first King James from Ireland or Britain. This guy ran Ireland and Britain. You don't think he knew what power was? You don't think he understood power? He saw what was coming when the Moors embraced Islam, and it was using that particular cult, Tishani, to rule. This is how they lost their power, because the power was in the Bible, not the Quran. You know what I'm saying? And what they did, they stopped using the Bible, the power of the Bible, started using the Quran. You see what I'm saying? And that created a problem. Now, all over Africa, the people were using the occult practices. Not from the Bible, but from Kemet. What's it called? Ma'at. The practice of the Bible is basically Ma'at. But the power of the book isn't laid out in Ma'at. This is what King James did. This is why we need to give this. We need to respect our brother more. This is what he did. He laid out a step-by-step process how to come to power. And all we have to do is follow his step-by-step process, and we will come back to power in a way that we can control what's going on for the benefit of everybody. The problem right now around the planet is man's inhumanity to man. And it's crazy out here, you know, but we can change that. All right, it's literally time for a commercial. I might have to do the whole commercial, but I want to do a commercial for the Democratic team. Okay. Oh, boy. Brother Elohim going into politics. Look, when you say government, don't talk about government as if it's something that's separate from you. Look in the mirror, man. You're the government. this is your country, not theirs. It's like somebody move in and take over your house. They won't let you in the house. So eventually you got a way to get back and make some changes in the house so you can get back in and get the house back. You follow what I'm saying? So you don't talk about them as if this is their house. It's your house. You need to take it back and take control of it so that you can push this government in the right direction through the reap what you sow culture. You don't do anything to anybody that you don't want to come back to you. That's the reap what you sow culture. Now, the reap what you sow culture militarily is a slow buildup. That's why both cultures are supposed to be together under the control of the civilians who are very religious, because the religious people are supposed to be 100% under the reap what you sow culture. They wouldn't be out there conquering and taking over people's stuff because they don't want to come back to them. The whole thing is interesting. This planet is a paradise, man. The reason why people sleep on the street, because some God made it so. We got the Democrats running for office. We got judges. This is very important, okay? And November the 2nd, it's time to vote for the judges again. These judges are given that are giving black children 10 years and giving white children 2 months for the same offense. You need to kick them out of office. That's what I'm saying. Kick them out of office. And it don't matter whether they're black or white. That has nothing to do with it. Everything depends on their thought process. You got black people out here that hate black people. I talked to an officer. I was in a Chinese store getting some Chinese food. And the guy said, oh, man, he was retired officer. Oh, man, if I'll be out there with those young kids, I'll be whipping their heads off. I say, look, man, I hope one of your grandchildren run into a cop with an attitude like yours. I left him in the store. You know what I mean? Hated his own people. So it's not a question of black and white or red or who. It's a question of who's going to administer the justice the way it's supposed to be done. That's what I'm talking about. We got Judge Maria McLaughlin. Judge Maria McLaughlin, okay? We got Judge Tamika Lane for Superior Court. This is Judge Maria McLaughlin. She's for Supreme Court, okay? Now, each government, each state has a Supreme Court, those who don't know that, okay? Then you got Judge Larry Dumas for Commonwealth Court. Then you got Judge David Surgeon for Commonwealth Court. These Democrats, we need to put them in office. You know, start kicking them Republicans to the curb. They ain't doing what they're supposed to do. Republican judges, they ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Kick them to the curb. Now, the judges that's in there that they're running against, look up their record. Look at what they did. If they ain't done nothing that's good for our community, kick them out. You know what I'm saying? Kick them out and put somebody else in there. You do have power. Like I'm saying, this is your government. You're supposed to be running. And now ask yourself, while you're on the phone, those on the phone, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. But while you're on the phone, think about this. Who was the last judge that you voted for? You know what I mean? Most of us don't even remember. I know I don't remember, but I'm going to remember now because they got this pay-to-play thing going on with everything. And you got to pay to play, you know? I had tickets from 30 years ago, right? I said, I want to see a judge. No, well, you can't see nobody unless you pay X amount of dollars. I said, well, I have to pay this money, even though the tickets are past the statute of limit. I know the rules. That's why I ain't paid them no money. You know that even though the tickets are past, pay you to talk to a judge? Yes, sir. I said, okay, I locked up. See you in another 30 years. You know what I'm saying? But the judges, they're breaking the law because once you study the law, you'll know that you have the right to travel. The only reason why you need stickers and all that stuff and inspections the whole nine yards is because of the title. You know what I'm saying? This is what they did. They know they'd be breaking the law if they give you a ticket or anything else, okay, when you're exercising your right to travel. They know that. So in order to overcome that, they instituted the title thing, which once you get a title, you're literally turning your car ownership over to the state. And because you're not traveling in your own vehicle, you have to abide by the real owner of the vehicle, which is the state. That's why when one of the mayors, I forget his name, Street, or one of them was trying to do something with the cars and stuff, he couldn't do anything because the cars are owned by the state. It was a state issue, not a local issue, so there was nothing he could do. But this is how they got around you exercising your right to travel where you're not being persecuted. These people will persecute you over their vehicle and them tickets and all that. It's like Gestapo law, you know, when you start accumulating tickets and stuff. And most of the tickets are bogus. Most of the tickets you're not even supposed to have. Don't know the rules. They don't know the rules, so they don't know what's really going on. You follow what I'm saying? I'm just giving you a wake-up call. November the 2nd, there's some judges that are running for office. I think this is in Philadelphia, though. There's some Democratic judges that are running for office. Let's get the Democrats in there. Let's get the Democrats in there and see what they're going to do, you know, because the Republicans, they're not doing their job. I'm not saying all of them. I can't speak for all the Republicans. You got some, whether Republicans or Democrats, you got some crazy Republicans and Democrats. You got some crazy both sides. You know what I'm saying? I know they well, you got good people on both sides. That's what I'm saying. That want to do the right thing, but are caught up in the moment. You know, I know when Trump said that they had a fit. What do you mean? People with their tiki torches on both sides. You got people, good people on all around the board. They're just caught up in the moment, you know? And we have to push them in the right direction. This country, I know it's going to be talking about money, but this country is a trust. This is where all the members that are in Elohim's Five Tribes, Society of Love, have to study trust so they can understand how the government works. The Constitution has a trust. That's the trust indenture agreement that anybody that's running for office as a trust manager, see what I'm saying? The trustees, the mayor, Congress, all those are trust managers. Anybody that wants to manage the trust, okay, has to take a vow to follow the Constitution because that's the trust agreement. That's the trust indenture agreement that they sign off on, you know? The Constitution was designed to protect you from the government, to keep the government in control. It wasn't designed to keep you in control. It was designed to keep the government in control. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying. So this is your country. This is your house. Okay? You're back in the house now. All right? They let you back in the house. They took the house over. They let you back in. And those that took the house in the first place, we've been on the white mob rule for the last 90 years. Those that have taken households in the first place are fighting to maintain control of the house because they feel as though it's their birthright to rule. To rule. This is how they think. This is how they bred. This is how they raised the thing. But it ain't their birthright. And when people talking about, well, I'm a king and I'm a queen, well, look up the system of how a king and queen works. They think because they're king and queen or a prince born from somebody claiming themselves a king or a queen, that they have the right to rule you. And the king and queen system, if you look it up, only their family members can rule. That's what's going on in Britain right now. Only their family members. They got the king and the queen, the prince and stuff over there, but she's smart. She's out of the parliament and all that, so the people have some kind of say. But she's smart. Only her children can be princes and princes. Prince and princesses. Only her children, nobody else. You can't be no prince. You can be a lord or a duke or something like that there, but you can't be no prince. It's a form of government. See what I'm saying? It's a form of government. And anytime somebody talking about, yeah, well, I'm queen so-and-so, yeah, well, I'm glad you ain't my queen. You know, whatever, telling me what to do. Sorry. You know what I mean? Go boss your children around. Don't come over here. You know what I mean? Especially if you ain't putting no money in my pocket. You know what I mean? The whole thing is kind of interesting. We have to learn systems. And that's why in the book, Toronto Scripture Complete, Complete Volume, is a breakdown of all the systems, how they work, what they do, who's doing the whole nine yards, you know, from everything, even anarchy. You know what I mean? Anarchy is an oxymoron. I mean, as long as you have rules, you have government. There's no such thing as there's no such thing as not having a government. You know, they talk that if you don't know what government is and what how governments work, okay? When people get together and make up rules, that's a government, period. If I don't understand. Anyhow, I know, so we're talking about money. I got a little bit off track. But all this is actually about the money. All this is about what's going on, about how you control and how, what you're going to do. You know, you don't have time to be out here running around with picket signs and all that, especially if you're trying to pay your rent. You ain't got no money. You feel what I'm saying? You're working two jobs. You're all over the doggone country trying to get paid, you know? Joseph. Back to Joseph. Back to the Bible. 50% budget. Ask yourself right now, can I save half the money that I'm making? That's the question you need to ask yourself. That's where you begin. You say, no, well, I'm almost spending everything that I'm making, you know, with the bills and the children and the cars and everything else. Look, if you can't save half your money, that means that you're living beyond your means, okay? You're supposed to at any time be able to put your hands on a few $1,000 whenever you're ready, anytime, you know? Day or night, it don't matter, you know what I mean? If I keep that much land around the house sometimes. You know, but I'm just saying, you're supposed to be able to do that. If you can't save 50%, or I shouldn't say can't, if you're not saving 50% of your money, you're living beyond your means. Here's how you begin to pull that back in order. All right. First, no more name brand anything. Don't buy name brand sneaks, name brand shirts, name brand. No. Okay. Why are you spending all that money to promote their brand? They're not paying you no money for that. You got people running around with Eagle t-shirts on and Baltimore Ravens t-shirts on. You know, you're promoting their brand for free. You're paying them to promote their brand. Go down to one of them games with some t-shirts and try to sell a t-shirt where you can make money off what they're doing. They will run you away from the stadium. You can't make no money off these guys. So why are you paying them to promote their brand? It's all about the sort of process. We're not thinking. You follow what I'm saying? Now, what are the sports and arenas and all that stuff for? It's to distract you from what your government's doing. That's what it is. You don't have to. Some people spend so much time following the sports and stuff around. They don't have time to worry about what the mayor's doing or what Congress is doing. Then whatever they say, they just follow that. You know? That's what's going on with the Republican Party now. But things have to change, and it begins with you. You have to change because it's your government. Where do you begin? Oh, my God, I don't have time to be going around dealing with these people like this. You can start with your vote. Take a few minutes. When these people come up and they're running for office, especially your judges, your congressmen, your mayors and all that, as soon as they come up for office, take a few minutes to study a little bit about what they're about. And then when the time comes, go down and cast your vote. When you don't cast your vote, you're not using the power that you have. You have power. Look what happened in the last Republican election. Trump was doing so bad. This is my opinion now. Trump was doing so bad. We wanted to see him go. What did we do? We fired him. He refused to accept the fact that he was fired, but the man was fired. And whoever takes control, this is why the you reap what you sow culture is in charge of the dog-eat-dog culture. See what I'm saying? The dog-eat-dog culture is your military. See what I'm saying? But the military is run by the civilians. By the President of the United States. Once Biden was officially declared President of the United States, he's the Commander-in-Chief of the military. See? So Trump couldn't run out here. No, well, I'm a go to war. I got control of, you know, once he got out of office, he don't have control over nothing. See? So he can't just arbitrarily go to war with anybody because he don't have the power. He did have, they did have a military op, the lady that he put in charge of the school system. She had a little military. They were trying to get her military to take over in Iraq and all that, you know what I mean, so they can get paid by doing that. But that military is not strong enough to defeat the federal government, which is owned by the Queen. So they can't just, jump up and decide, oh, we're going to have a civil war. Oh, no, it don't work that way. You follow what I'm saying? It do not work that way. Because if they do that, they still have to deal with the Queen's forces, you know, and Britain's pretty powerful. So they can't, Trump couldn't take the forces once he got out of office. This is why it's important when President Hansen and them, founding fathers, when you're talking about George Washington and them, they were his thieves, when the founding fathers set this whole thing up, they made sure that the civilians had a voice in running the government. That vote is your voice, okay? They bias, they sidestep a lot of that because at first, a lot of the people that were here weren't born here. And according to the Constitution, if you're not born here, you're not a citizen. But that was 100 years ago. Almost everybody that's here have been born here and they're citizens of the United States, which are guaranteed one vote. That's how that works. So they can't just go crazy with the military and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Now, since we're talking about money, remember the 13th, 14th Amendment, I forget which one it is, whereas people walk around talking about, oh, they declared black people three-fifths of a human being. No, that was about money. At that time, black people were considered property. Because most of them weren't born, a lot of them weren't born here, not most of them, but a lot of them weren't born here. They were considered property. You know what I'm saying? And as property, you have to report your property to your assets and all that, to government, so that they can, based on how many people you got in the area, the government allocates money for that area. So they say that people who own slaves couldn't report no more than three-fifths of their population, three-fifths of their property when it came to slaves. It was about how much money they're going to get back from the government. It had nothing to do with you being three-fifths of a human being because these people knew who you were. They knew they just took over from a group that ran the planet. We have global empire. If you check to see the roots of who built all this stuff, you got black people building skyscrapers right downtown of Philadelphia. You don't even know they're doing it. You got brothers now that are building architects who have come up with a nice design to build cheap homes and stuff. You know, these guys out there. But they're not telling you who these people are because they don't want you to know what you're doing as a group, what you're doing as a people. You follow what I'm saying? That's supposed to be on Saturday, History Day, but sometimes I get a little carried away. Yes, excuse me. But we're still, all this is about money, though. See, all this is about the result. And so when the census come around, right, you have a lot of people, I ain't signing up for the census. I'm not ducking the census. You're supposed to sign into the census. That means money coming back into your area. We don't know that. So we duck in the census. You know what I mean? They don't really know how many black people are here. They don't really know how many black people are here. You eating, you going to the store, you buying food, you watching TV, you making phone calls. You think they don't know who you are? How many of you are here? Come on, man. You got to wake up and not smell a coffee. We need to drink the coffee. The technology that's available right now, okay, is based on the thought process of Santa Claus. Wait a minute, what in the world has Santa Claus got to do for any of this, you know? Knows when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, so you better be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, better not frown. Santa Claus is coming to town. You know what I'm saying? Think about those words and what they're saying. This is what they put in your mind as a child. You better not shout. Better not pout. I forget how the whole song goes. He knows what you're thinking. Knows when you're awake. Knows when you're good or bad. So be good for goodness sake. Santa Claus is coming to town. You know what I'm saying? And this guy's coming down your chimney. Even if you got fire in the chimney, he's coming down your chimney to bring presidents. I mean, they want to know what you're doing, what you're awake, when you sleep. They want to know everything. You know what I'm saying? And they don't have a God up there sitting in a chair looking down on you to judge you. Like Abraham Lincoln, this is what they're putting out there. They got a satellite up there watching you, man. Watching everything you do. Listen to everything you say. You know what I'm saying? The whole thing is interesting. But they have been pushing a certain thought process to you ever since you was a baby. Ever since you was a child. Okay? Ever since you was a young man or woman. To a young man or woman. Because the Bible says we wasn't born as children. As we were born as men and women. And we grow into ability to design, that's when we become gods. This is what the Bible is saying. Man, the whole thing is deep. Everything is about the thought process. So much to that book. It's just absolutely amazing. And when you start thinking about the stories that they're telling, the people who are joining in different groups, that's the occult portion. Whoever's telling a story that you like, whoever's the best teller storyteller, that's the person you're going to follow. Okay? And you got a lot of people in these churches that are sleeping on the street, giving their little rent money and all that stuff, pointed at, and the church, leader of the church is at a $5 million house with a plane and jets and everything, and they can barely pay their rent. This is across the board. I don't care what religion you're in. It's across the board. That's what's going on, you know? The people have to wake up and realize what's happening here, you know? And this is why we're here. This is what we're doing. Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love. Our job, okay, across the board, to bring the five tribes together, okay, working according to a power base that will bring about love, reciprocity, and human dignity to the planet. This is what we're here for. I'm going to go just a little bit further. We've only got a few minutes left. But if we did our job, all right, there will be no homeless. There will be nobody sleeping on the street. Injustice would disappear. And we wouldn't be propping up these dictators who got the mindset of totally under the doggy dog influence. They're totally running down trying to take this and take that from people because they have the military right might and they have the resources. Now they have the money to go into these places and subjugate these people. What they do, what they call the International Monetary Fund, they go in, they loan these people this money. No, these people can't pay this money back because there's no way, if you study the fiat currency, the interest don't exist. There's no way they can pay the interest, and they know that. So they take over their, it's like boardwater. They take over the water. They take over the railway. They take over the different infrastructure in the country, and then they raise the prices on the water, and people suffering again. It's a ongoing problem that we have, okay? So now we have developed a system that eventually will bring all this together and we can stop killing and murdering each other for no reason whatsoever. Because we're murdering and killing each other for no reason whatsoever and it don't make sense. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Now, you know, people want to love you, but they can't love you if you want to turn them into a slave. How am I going to love you if you want to make me a slave? It ain't happening. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? You know, I would love to love you. But the only way I can love you is with me being your slave? I don't think so. You know what I mean? We have to agree to disagree. I don't know how we even be friends because your every thought is to keep me down. Your every thought is to have me live in a substandard position. Your every thought is to keep me doing dumpster diving so I can eat. That's your every thought. So how can I flow with you? You follow what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. So when we say love is an act that makes others feel good, but making you feel good, the one come from can't make me feel terrible. It don't make sense. Where I'm coming from? So when you say love is an act that makes others feel good, you have to tell them that. You have to talk about the acts of love. Because this culture is teaching love as obsessionism as love. And these people are so obsessed that they'd rather kill you than to see you move on with somebody else. That's not love. That's obsessionism. You understand what I'm saying? We can't be obsessed with each other. We have to learn how to love each other. And when you're in a relationship, or you're dealing in a group, okay, you have to be able to love each other. Anybody that has interacted with me have nothing bad to say. Well, they have nothing bad to say about me that I've done, literally done. But if they want to occult me, see what I'm saying? They can make up some stories, but I haven't done that to nobody. So whatever stories they're making up, hey, if they want, they be trying to scapegoat. You know where I'm coming from? But you can talk to anybody that I've been around or been with. Yeah, you can't find nothing that they can say that's bad about me. Because everybody I interact with, I know I'm dealing with God. And I treat them like God. I give out hugs and all this. That's what I do. I'm going to stop doing that because of the coronavirus. I'm going to start bowing to people. The COVID virus is serious. I'm going to start hugging people. I'm going to start bowing. Yo, what's up, man? Like that. In fact, I'm already teaching my children to bow to me, you know, because I love giving out hugs because it's an energy transference. You know what I mean? And some people can feel it. Sometimes it makes them uncomfortable. You can feel this energy transference. Yo, what's up, man? All right, we got the hug. That's good. You know? But the whole thing is, man, you know, we have to learn how to love each other, and that's what we're here to teach. Well, I don't know about teaching, but that's how we're here to show. You know, you show by example. You know, when you can walk at night and say, "Hey, I don't know nobody that can say a bad word about me because I haven't done a bad to anybody. This is how I roll." You know, I treat everybody with love. Every act that I commit on a person, you know, makes them feel good. If it don't make them feel good, I'm not going to commit to act. It's just that simple. And if my making them feel good make me feel miserable, then I can't commit that act for them because it's not reciprocal. It's not reap what you sow. It's not scientific. See what I'm saying? That's why the Bible talks about homosexuality as a sin, because it's not scientific. You're putting your life juices in a waste track. You're not going to reap anything from a waste track. You're putting your life juices in somebody's waste track. Or you're just having fun and it's throwing out on the ground. Yeah, or it's going in the tissue. You can't, you know. That's why it's a sin, because it's designed to make men and women. It's designed to make children. And if we don't make children, we have a real problem, you know. Anyway, I have walked the path of being a reap what you sow today, and I eagerly embrace all that I have done to come back to me. So let it be written, let it be done. Remember, we're talking about, money. I didn't go through the whole money system today, but next Thursday, I go through the whole money system. How if you don't have the kind of money that you need to invest, how you can get it. By working two jobs and all that stuff and actually making your net worth as much as you want. It's up to you. You don't have to be a thousandaire. You can be a millionaire. See what I'm saying? And I keep telling my children, look, I'm tired of being a thousandaire. Time for me to move up. Time for me to move on, you know? And that's what's going on. But just remember, or where we stand, Elohim Five Tribes, Society of Love, I got the GoFundMe page up, Elohim Five Tribes Society Love GoFundMe page. So if you got a couple of dollars that you ain't doing on with, throw it in the GoFundMe page. And our domain site, if you have a product or something that you want to sell, well, we're still working on that, but you'll be able to sell it on our domain site. And if you go to our domain site and look, if you see something that you might want to change or something that you think would be a little better, make a comment. Speak up on it, you know, and we'll see if we can change it, you know, to make things a little bit better, but not to your liking, okay? Because we encourage God to participate in everything that we're doing, okay? We're all designers, so you might have a bit of design or something thinking about, okay? With this, love is an act to make others feel good. And remember, we'll chit-chat again tomorrow. Tomorrow is about health. So let's talk about how to stay a little more healthy tomorrow, okay? With that, we'll chit-chat some more tomorrow, okay? Much love, guys.